Praise the Lord. Well, as usual, I've got here a title I believe the Lord's given to us, and we're calling this The Holy Spirit Empowers Our Prayers. The Holy Spirit Empowers Our Prayers. I believe what we will see today from this teaching, how that like everything else with our walk with the Lord, we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We need to experience where God initially takes over. It's the Spirit doing it, helping us in our weaknesses, helping us in this walk. This is why we make so much of the cross, because the cross helps us to overcome the weakness of the flesh. As the flesh will always have the final say otherwise. So we see in the provisions of our salvation, not only, of course, the new birth, but the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus coming back into our lives, into our hearts, initially taking over. And this is achieved and done as we simply yield over to the Spirit and allow him to do that work. Then we find that he begins to take over. This, of course, is a process. And that's why it's the deeper life. And that's why we are a work in progress, the potter and the clay. It's as we continue daily walking with him, being faithful, keeping with the word, prayer, our fellowship, we find that the work of the Holy Spirit continues to do this work in and through us. And we have periods and times where we suddenly become aware that there are things happening in my life. There is a power working in my life that wasn't there 6 months ago, or a year ago, or 10 years. This is why we're being changed from glory into glory. It is a transforming, it's a change that God does by the Spirit. It must always be first birth in the Spirit. The flesh otherwise will not yield. We know this because it has to be in the heart. The heart is the seat of the emotions. It is you. And it is the heart that God changes and he molds and he works upon. And of course, this is a process. And this comes as we hear the word of God, faith, as we take of the seed of the word into the heart, where the word then takes root, bears that fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit, so that change starts to take place. That is why it is so important how we come to these meetings and how we hear. And we're only going to hear when we get in prayer, when we are prayed, not only pray for the word, pray for the meeting, but pray that your mind, your heart, your very being will enter in to what God has for us. This is how you grow, how you change. And I open up with this for a very good reason, because of the title that the Lord has given, The Holy Spirit Empowers Our Prayers. And I want to open this up further in light of that introduction, why this is so important. Now let's first turn to something familiar of Romans chapter 8, verse 26. You know this very well, but we are going to look at this in greater detail, Romans 8, 26, which says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses or infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So there we see the emphasis. It is the Spirit who makes the prayers, the intercessions. We then turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, 26, 25, 26, Hebrews 7. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. So now we begin to see Christ, now who's taken on the role in glory as the high priest, making prayers, intercessions, praying. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. So look how this high priest has been exalted high above the heavens in the presence of Almighty God. That is the role, ministry at present our Lord has taken on. Bearing that then in mind, we see then the role that we are to take on. And if we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. So this ministry of prayer, priesthood, royal priesthood, continues. It never finished at Calvary. It has now become spiritual. And it's now become a ministry through the people of God. How do we know? He says we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that they may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So this priesthood, which represents the high priest of Jesus, who is above the heavens in the glory of God, this priesthood is on the earth, a holy nation. So the two work together. Our prayers must be the prayers of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit must be the prayers of the saints. That is what Romans 8:26 is telling us, that he comes to work in our weaknesses. So bearing that in mind, we realize then that our prayers, our intercessions, take on a completely different role and form, whether it be individually or corporately. You see, often we pray, or people pray, when they're in trouble. It's quite remarkable how many people, and including your own family, You say, oh, I will pray for you. I'm not sure that you've ever had any one of them would say, no, do not pray for me. I have never experienced that. They will all say, yes, please do, or thank you. So there is something within man, even unregenerate man, who recognizes calling on God, praying to God, is important. It's inbuilt in us. We were created for God's glory. And so there is something within us that prays or will call out to God or who will be appreciative if somebody's praying for you. But most often, what you find with the world is they'll only pray when trouble comes or whatever it would be, or when they want something, or pray when it's the last resort, which sadly we do at times. When God was already saying to you in that still small voice, get into prayer, but we ignore it. And that still small voice says again, get into prayer. And then we find when things start to really happen, where he was warning us, then he gets our attention. But sometimes it can be a little late. So we need to be sensitive. And that's why it says in Thessalonians that we are to pray without ceasing. In other words, we are to be in the manner or the mindset ready to pray any time, any place, anywhere, 24/7. And sometimes we just have to pray like that, whether it be on a journey or we're waiting for a train or whatever it would be. Sometimes those prayers go up because we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We are listening to what he's saying. And for us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we should be experiencing the Holy Spirit himself praying through us, of which we cannot utter or understand. In other words, we know that this bypasses us intellectually. Very powerful prayer, and yet you have so many Christians who argue who don't even understand this. We know this in Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, all in the context of our spiritual warfare. And here he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So it says, praying always with all prayer, supplications in the Spirit. So we're told to pray in the Spirit. There is, of course, a praying in the understanding, which we know, but there is much praying in the Spirit. Because the Spirit helps us to be watchful to this end. Persevering, supplicating for all things, for all the saints and so on. So prayer then, not only praying one for another, praying for our nations, our governments, but it also makes us watchful. And that is what we need now in these last days. Jesus said we're to watch and pray so that we can discern the signs of the times that we live in. And we've all received that news of what's going on in the news and how we possibly may be facing a World War III. This is getting everyone's attention, and now people want to start praying. Well, for those of us who are men and women of prayer, this doesn't take us by surprise. We have been prepared for years and years with the deeper life teaching that these things are going to come and that they don't take us by surprise. But it doesn't mean that we stop praying. Of course we do. We continue to get in prayer and intercession because these are powers, principalities in warfare, working through leaders. Most of the people in nations, they're not at war. It's the leaders who are being led by these strong powers and principalities that we war against. Civilians, many of them are innocent. They're the ones we need to pray for God's protection. They will give his angels charge over them, preserve and keep life. This is why it's much power that you can pray and pray for your families if you've got a family in these areas, in Iraq and so forth. This is where the power lies, in intercession, warfare. This is why we're given the power to pray like this, you see. And so the Spirit that is within us, the Holy Spirit, is able to offer up these prayers and intercessions as the Spirit leads. We've already shown you back in 1 Peter 2 verse 9 that we're called to be a royal priesthood. And a royal priesthood is separated unto God. Let's just turn back again to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Let's read a little bit more of what it says here. In verses 11 to 12 of 1 Peter 2, 11 to 12, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they observe, glorifying God in the day of visitation. So this royal priesthood is a priesthood that is separated, unspotted from the world for the purpose of being able to pray effectively so that we pray effective prayers, so that we deal with unconfessed sin. This is all essential for our praying, that our hearts are right, that we don't hold grudges or unforgiveness, that we are in unity and oneness with each other and with Christ. You cannot pray otherwise. It will go no higher than the ceiling. And we know this by going back to Romans 8, and verse 26, where he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses or infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray. Now, this Greek word for weaknesses or infirmities is asthenia, asthenia. And this is a very interesting word for your praying and intercession, because it means frailty, or it means that you may be going through a physical trial. This word asthenia also means to understand by the Spirit, as the Spirit reveals to you. This word also means to restrain. In other words, the Spirit interceding is restraining in whatever way that prayer needs to be prayed, It also means to pray in actual trials. Not only maybe your own trials, but trials or things that are going on or what is going on in the world. So there we are. This gives us a clear understanding. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses or infirmities. So we face these trials each day. We may not always feel like praying, or we may feel very weak, or we're overcoming a bug or whatever it would be. But he says, I will help you in those weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So there we are. We don't know how to pray in a situation. We don't even know how to pray over what's going on with Israel, Iran, and what possibly may develop into a World War III. We don't fully know how to pray, but the Spirit does. And that is the point. And that applies in anything, you see. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, Christ, our high priest in heaven, is interceding, and he wants your intercessions to be his intercessions, because we are in unity and oneness with him. In other words, my praying in the Spirit is agreeing with Christ's intercessions. We are one in this. Are you getting this now, saints? What this means by praying in the Spirit, in tongues, in other words, in languages. You can't do this in the carnal mind. There are many just say, oh, well, it's a quickening of your prayers. It could be, but it's not. It's about you praying in the Spirit. Through the baptism and the Spirit you've got, you're uttering words, languages that bypasses the mind, the intellect. This is why the enemy attacks in prayer and speaking in tongues, the utter confusion that we have in Christendom, because he doesn't want saints fulfilling verse 26. Because he knows that the weakness, our weaknesses, God bypasses it. He strengthens. It's power here in this verse. This is why you need to go into Greek to study these words, to see the deeper meaning, what it's actually implying, so that my prayers can restrain. Because that's one of the words in this word which I've given you of weaknesses or infirmities. It means I can restrain. I can hold it back in prayer. The restrainer. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? In Thessalonians, there's a restrainer that is holding back until it's taken away, out of the place. That's the overcomers, the church. Those that pray are holding back the final onslaught of the powers of darkness. We are at present holding back the Antichrist from coming forth and manifesting himself to the world. Our prayers, here we are, the restrainer. The Holy Spirit is praying through us, restraining this all still at present. Why? Because there are still Gentiles to be saved. God is a God of love and mercy. One of the roles of Christ is a shepherd. And a shepherd goes out for the lost sheep, and he brings them into the fold. He preserves the sheep. He pastures the sheep. He looks after them. That is his nature, his role. And we have to be entuned with the heart of God in our prayers and intercessions. So we restrain, we hold it back by our spiritual warfare, which he's given us the keys to the kingdom, that what is bound on earth, bound in heaven. What is loosened on earth, loosened in heaven. That is the power of the Spirit praying that through us. You as a royal priesthood have been given that authority, led by the Holy Spirit. Little wonder the enemy doesn't like it, because it binds him from being able to go any further in doing the work that he does. We restrain, we hold it back. Our prayers and warfare enable for the word of God to go forth to the four corners of the earth. Our prayers enable the word to go forth when the enemy tries to shut doors on it. And so it goes on. Very often, the apostle asked the churches to pray for the word to go forth, that doors would be open. They were achieved by spiritual warfare. This was not a problem to the early church who were baptized in the Spirit. It's a huge problem today because of how far the church has fallen from the standard that God intended, because she lost the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we're now in the times of restoration, God restoring back a remnant, coming back under the headship of Christ. He is the one now leading, teaching, guiding us. And nothing better. And so that is why we're called a royal priesthood, set apart, you see. That's why we're purchased with a price. Our temple, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And he cleanses us. Just like when he went into the house of God and he cast out the money lenders. They were making merchandise of his house. Do you remember? He showed righteous anger. And he cast the tables asunder. He was angry, raged. Why? Because the house was not clean. He was revealing how prayer must be answered in a clean house. And the same with us. He wouldn't allow anyone to carry those wares through the temple. And he won't allow us, our bodies, which are for his use. You are not your own. You have now been purchased with a price. And that's why he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And it's very important that we understand that. Our assembly, our gathering together is really to the house of prayer. That is what we're called for. That is our ministry as a high priest. And being sensitive and led by the Holy Spirit. Because he makes intercessions with groanings through us. In other words, words, languages, things that we don't understand. But the Spirit does, you see. You have been blessed, saints, over the years with prayer. We've been able to be free and being able to experience in our prayer meetings that praying in the understanding, but praying also in the Spirit. There are many churches and Christians who do not experience what you are experiencing. They only know prayer in the intellect, in the mind. But you can't pray for very long like that. You soon run dry. Or you produce a prayer list, which many of them do. And the tragedy of that is the only way people get off the prayer list is when they die. Because often the prayers go no higher than the ceiling. But our prayers are right in the presence of Almighty God. Christ, the high priest, in the presence of God, sitting on the right hand. Our prayers are in harmony with his, and his prayers are in harmony with us. But as he's holy, so must we as a royal priesthood. And that's why it's important when we come to prayer that we are right, we are prayed up, and that if we've fallen short of the standard, then we get confessed and get it covered by the blood of Jesus. For God will only see a meeting that's covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives even unto death, as it says in Revelation. That is how we're going to overcome in these last days, brothers and sisters, by the blood of Jesus, applying that blood, just like the blood was applied to the posts that night when the angel of death came and killed all the first male, so that Israel would be released from Pharaoh. A type. So we likewise cover by the blood of Jesus. Rahab the harlot was spared and her family through that red thread that was left on the window. What is that signifying? The blood of Jesus that we can apply by the Spirit. In other words, God is saying, the Lord is saying, apply my blood that I shed for you at Calvary. Use it, confess it, apply it in your prayers, in your warfare, over your family, over your loved ones, as the Spirit leads. It's powerful. Why? Because life is in the blood of the Lamb. Whose life? The life of Christ. You are applying his life in that situation, not you. No wonder the enemy tries to bind us and hold us. He tries to keep us so inward looking, so consumed in ourselves. And that's why the self life has to be crucified daily, going to the cross. Very often it's the self gets in the way that hinders our prayers. But God has even provided for that. And you will find more and more your intercessions, your prayers are being answered. You're seeing things happening. Because that's what prayer is to do. This is why so many Christians are despondent, depressed, down. Oh, my prayers don't get answered. Nothing going on in my life. That's the problem. That's the problem. You're listening to the enemy. You're looking at the circumstances. You have to come back in the Spirit. That's why Romans 8 is a walk of the Spirit. Those who walk in the Spirit fulfill all the requirements of the law. And only the Spirit can get us to walk in the Spirit. You can't do it. It's impossible. You try. So our temples then are of the Holy Spirit. We keep them undefiled. And this can only happen and depend on the light that we have and what we are receiving. And this type of prayer that we're talking about comes from a purity of heart, not harboring sin, unforgiveness, resentment, unbelief. All those things are such, can be such a problem amongst Christians in the house of God. You can't pray effectively. This is why the devil tries to keep us bound. He knows how to try and keep a church divided through sin of the tongue, through wrong attitudes, motives. Why does he do that? Because he knows he can attack the church's prayer life. Sadly, the enemy is more switched on than Christians are. Our eyes and ears have to be opened to his devilish work and what he's trying to do. But our light comes through the word of God as we hear it under the unction, the anointing. As God highlights these things, or he highlights them in our life and heart and spirit. That's why I always say, as I close with this, the word always has our name and address on it. And thank God it does, because that is a sign that God loves us. He's working with us. He's chastening us if he needs to. He's correcting us, molding us into his likeness and image, for the purpose that we are set apart as a royal priesthood to intercede and pray. The enemy fears the prayers of FGA. I can only speak for this assembly, because he knows the power that lies behind it in prayer and intercession. So we continue to press on, do we not, brothers and sisters? And we fight the good fight of faith. And soon our Lord is coming for us, and we will be caught up in the clouds together with him. That is why we look up now as our redemption draws nigh. For we are discerning and watching and seeing the signs and the times.